Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Your hair's growing very long.
Thank you. Do you know what I did today? I've stopped putting heat on my hair.
You're like Monica from Friends. It's the humidity. What do you mean?
So I decided today, because it's so hot, that I wouldn't blow dry my hair and I'd just leave it.
Is that you natural?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's working because it's hot.
Yeah. If it wasn't, it would be like...
For goodness sake, yeah. have a blow dry woman. No, you look great. You look
glowy.
Thank
you.
How's the bubba? All good?
She's lovely. Yeah. How's your... Been crazy month of working.
Nearly coming to an end. I'm crawling into Ibiza on Sunday. Get me to the White Isle. So today it's a really lovely subject that we're talking about today. It's a subject that is something that we really felt we wanted to cover.
Absolutely.
We've had so many messages about IVF saying you guys need to have a discussion about it. It's something that Georgia and I have never been through, so we can't really say how traumatic and how stressful and how upsetting it can be.
No, or talk through the process, because I guess until you're in it, you don't know, the ins and outs and exactly what you go through. Mm. But for one thing I will say is that my sister-in-law had IVF and she has twins, a boy and a girl,
wow.
Zach and Lois. And I had no idea what she went through at the time. Mm. And I look at her in a different way, but I have the most respect for her and her husband and everything they obviously went through to get to, being parents. Mm. And
it's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
You take it for granted as well, falling pregnant, as easy as you and I did, even though I had a little bit going on at the beginning with my fertility. Nothing on the scale of what people go through when they're having to go down that road. And it can be, well, we chatted to Megan Stevens last week, and she came into us. Now, she's a friend of mine. She actually is married to my hairdresser. She is also a blogger. She's Mama Megan Stevens on Instagram. She speaks about it a lot. She goes into a lot of detail about what she went through to get her baby. And we thought, who better to kind of come in and lift the lid on IVF?
Yeah, so it's a great chat. So I guess we'll just hand it over to Megan.
What a lovely, exciting, wonderful day it is when we get to chat to the person that is sitting opposite us today. She is a mum of one. She used to be, well, still is, a hair colourist and stylist, but has kind of taken a step back after having her baby. She went through IVF. She's now got an incredible blog called Mama Megan Stevens.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I know. When I thought about it, it was a bit of a mouthful now, looking back.
Mama Megan Stevens is just here today to talk about her IVF journey. Welcome, Megan.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much on such a rainy day as well in August.
I know, miserable. Isn't it? England weather.
It's
hate
like you can deal with this in the winter, but when the summer
comes around. I can't deal with it whatever season we're in. I hate this weather.
Not for you.
No, I just like the sun and that's it. I need to live in Spain.
Well, you're looking very, very tan today, so you're doing a good job on the fake tan.
Bronzer.
What bronzer are you using?
Hourglass. I'm not sure which one.
Snazzy
it's
one.
Like literally my favourite and it lasts me a year. Every time I buy it.
Georgia and I,
as you can see, I use quite a lot. So that's good.
We love talking about all makeup and bronzing products.
Yeah.
It's our favourite subject.
It is a good one. It is a good one.
Listen, Megan, just for people that don't know about you or who you are, just tell us a little bit about the blog and what it's all about.
So the reason why I started it was because I started it when I was pregnant. And basically, I wanted to kind of share our IVF journey, really. And that's why I started it, because I just felt like I had one friend that was going through it when I was going through it, but I didn't know much about Instagram, I didn't know much about blogging, and I just felt like it was a story that, coming from someone that's quite young, you always thought IVF was people that were older and they had to have it because they left it too late or, you know, whatever. But for me, I felt like I was quite young going through it. So I just wanted to share the story really about it. And a bit about, you know, how we got to where we were when I got pregnant. So
tell us about the story.
So, I mean, I got married to Jamie when I was 27. We'd been together for 5 years when we got married. And I wanted, well, we both wanted a family. Like, literally, we knew we wanted a family straight away. So I came off the pill just before we got married, because people say, you know, come off the pill a bit before because then your body will get used to it. But I don't know if that's true.
Get it out your system.
Is it true? Yeah, I'm not sure. So I did that. And then Jamie's quite impatient. That's like one of his major...
Does that mean he's a sex fiend?
Well, yeah, but he's just so impatient. We tried naturally to conceive, like... I had this idea in my head, you know, we'll have a honeymoon baby, you know. Mm. You just think that.
I
don't know.
Do.
I did anyway. Very naive, I'm sure. But I just was thinking, you know, how amazing would it be? We're going on this amazing honeymoon. And then, you know, we could get pregnant because I've took my fertility sticks and everything.
Were you peeing on sticks on the honeymoon?
No, not on honeymoon. Many other holidays, but not on the honeymoon. Yeah, many other holidays, but no, not then. But yeah, so we just went. Yeah, I suppose I didn't really know about your whole... Now I feel like I know everything about when you ovulate and blah, blah, blah. But then I probably just thought, you know, you have sex and...
You get pregnant.
Well, do you know what? We're told, like, from what, 13, 14, when we have sex education, how not to get pregnant. So you expect you'd literally come off the pill, have unprotected sex, and you'll be pregnant.
In 2 weeks. So if you have sex every day in those 2 weeks honeymoon, then surely you're going to get pregnant. But, it didn't work. And then we, for the next, like, year and a half, I mean, literally, I think people don't realize, like, trying for a baby is so... consuming of your relationship and your life, that we tried for about a year and a half, and then they do say try for 2 years before you seek help, but we went and saw someone like after a year and a half. And I mean, I remember one holiday that we went to, and it was the aim of the game. This was like, right, let's just go on holiday, relax, because people would say, you know, you've just got to stop thinking about
Stop trying. Just go and enjoy it.
Just go and get, like, we actually had a consultant that said to Jamie, just go and get drunk and have, and no, he actually said, just shag her.
Just shag her?
Yeah. He said something like, you know.
Was he a real doctor?
No, he was a real doctor. Yeah, he was like, just get drunk and just, when did you last have proper sex? Just go and have, yeah.
That's really helpful.
He actually said this to me, yeah. So we were like, okay, so anyway, before that, we just had literally, I'm not joking, one holiday, we probably had sex about five times a day.
Oh, wow.
And that holiday, I did take the peeing sticks. And if I had a slight, like, smiley face that I was ovulating a bit, it was like, all go. But, I mean, they're not really good memories to look back on, because you just didn't really enjoy the holiday. It was just like, it was just like...
The pressure.
Not romantic.
No,
either.
It's not.
It's not like love, you know, it's just like wham, bam.
Functional.
You know. Yeah, exactly. Mm. So, yeah, then we saw a consultant after about a year and a half, and they just said,
that, what I told you about just go and have sex and try, because we went and then had lots of tests. But like when you start it, you have tests in my, Jamie has like one test. I mean, the guys do get off this. They don't have to do as much as the woman, obviously. But he just had, I think he just, you know, did his bit in a pot and they tested his sperm. Whereas I had like the dye in the tubes to test everything. You have to test that you're both not got any sort of diseases or anything, a lot of blood tests and stuff, a lot of internal scans. And they said to me that there was nothing wrong. They said there's no evidence to show that, it's just unexplained. It's no evidence to show that you shouldn't conceive naturally.
What was that like for you?
Well, it's frustrating because you just think, well, why hasn't it happened? Like, you always think, well, there must be something wrong. But yeah, they said there was nothing wrong. So we thought about it and we thought, look, we're still going to go ahead, because it's not like we've just been told this. We've been trying for a year and a half.
Yeah.
So we're still going to go ahead. We started off on the NHS, and it just took so long to get an appointment from one appointment to the other that, yeah.
Sorry. I just wanted to ask you how your morale was, I guess. What was going on with you? Because I think a lot of people can relate to this story.
Yeah.
You know, a year and a half of trying for a baby is a really long time. So what was going through your head and how were you feeling in those months?
Well, I was feeling a bit like, it was all quite, the whole process is quite traumatic because it's very invasive. Like I would never have had an internal scan. I've never been in like a theatre room and had dye up inside me, into my tubes and everything. So everything seemed like such a big deal and it was sort of overwhelming at the time. Mm.
Did it put any pressure on your relationship?
I wouldn't say at that time it put pressure on the relationship. It was more like over time, no, to be honest, Jamie is so supportive. Like, there is absolutely nothing wrong with him. It's all me. So, and he's never, ever made me feel like that. So,
so good.
So we're, in that sense, we've not, it puts on pressure on your relationship in a romantic sense.
Yeah.
Because sex becomes like, you can't have sex at this time. You can only have sex at that time. Oh, you know, you're not having, you go through a year and a half of trying to have sex to have a baby. And then it's like, oh, you're not trying to have a baby. Eventually, when we found out, you're.
Did you have any months where you thought you were pregnant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what was that like?
Once you do, it's not months. It's like you have 2 weeks of waiting. Like once you've done the IVF.
Sorry, I meant before that. So
oh,
I meant
before.
When you were trying, at any point were you
I
like,
never
I
did. And
pregnant.
I always had this feeling that there was something wrong. I don't know why. I'm not sure. I just had this feeling in the back of my mind, but then maybe that was me being negative, I don't know, but I just had this feeling that there was something not right. And I'd never had any accidents, I'd never been in any situations. I mean, I was always careful, but we were together a long time and that nothing had ever happened. I don't know, that just seemed a bit strange, but yeah, no scares. So I think that's a bit telling.
Yeah.
Well, that's what made me feel like.
So talk us through the process of going down the IVF route on the NHS. Because some people won't know where you'd start.
I didn't get too far on it, to be honest.
Okay.
We went to our GP, told them, they do say to you have to be trying for 2 years, I think it is, before they'll help you. It's really bad. Like some boroughs don't even cover NHS funding for IVF.
I heard this.
Yeah.
And some boroughs and some areas give you 3 chances on the NHS. Some don't give you some give you one and some none at all.
None at all. So it's so bad. Like it should just be equal for everybody. And honestly, the rules that are behind it, even if they do give you a chance, if your partner's had a baby previously with someone else, I don't know all of them, but things like that.
Well, they don't let you
then
have
they
it.
Won't let you.
No, so this is what happened with my sister and her husband, her ex-husband, Tom. He already had a baby, a son who was sadly not living in this country, living abroad. My sister was going through the early menopause and she was desperate. She could house a baby, but she couldn't have one of her own.
Right.
I've talked about this before. And so she was going down the NHS route and they were saying, look, you know, there's nothing we can do because your husband's already got a son.
Yeah.
She was like, well, I haven't got a baby and I'm married
to
him for the rest of my life.
You've chosen to be with someone that's got a baby. Yeah, no, it's terrible, really. But so there's quite a few rules like that. I mean, we were eligible, which was good, but like I said, Jamie is a bit impatient, and I am too, because it's such an emotional thing. The more one appointment to another drags on, the more you're thinking about it, the more you're waiting to find out what happens. And to be honest, just to even get the test done, it was like, go to see this consultant, then we'd wait weeks for an appointment to be referred to another consultant. And after about 3-4 months, we hadn't even seen anyone apart from the GP. Mm. So I don't know if it's like that for everyone or it's just our area, but we just kept the ball rolling privately. And then if that came up in the meantime, we thought we'd go ahead with that. Anyway, it took so long, we just decided to. Luckily enough, we could afford it. But so we went straight to the clinic. The worst thing we did is in my opinion, we looked for where is local. Like in my mind, I thought, right, we've got to think of somewhere that's convenient, somewhere where we live that's local. When I was looking for a private doctor, and I researched this guy very briefly. I didn't research this hospital enough. And we went ahead with them just on the basis of, you know, thinking that every IVF doctor, they're all doing the same thing. IVF is IVF at the end of the day. And we just went ahead with him. We went through the process. You start with a lot of tests, like I said before, just to check that you're all okay. And I mean, you have to get checked for like HIV, AIDS, everything, because obviously they can't ahead with anything if either of you got anything wrong with you. So we had all those tests. It was okay to go ahead. Then you get all your medication. I mean, it's a costly process as well. And
did you know how much it was going to cost you from the beginning? Like, did they sit you down and say, this is going to be the process and this is going to be the fee? Or did they say the money could increase the more you need?
No, they didn't really explain it that well, to be honest. And it does feel like it's just bill after bill after bill. Even when you get the medication, like, wow, oh, you need more medication. You've got to have quite a big pot to be able to keep going back into it.
What were you looking at, ballpark?
The first we started off probably about 10. It probably ended up being about 14,000 pounds.
Yeah,
so that was the first
that was the first time.
And obviously this is over a certain amount of time, which is why we could afford it, because it's a lot of money, but it's not all of that at once. It's like gradually, the more deeper we got into it. So yeah, once you start the injections, that's the biggest part, because you're basically growing your follicles inside your ovaries. They're pumping you with hormones.
And do you have to inject yourself?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So it's every day.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah, because I tried to freeze some eggs.
Oh,
I went through the whole process. So you have to inject your stomach every day for, I think, 14 days?
Yeah, it's like 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
So it's... I mean, I got Jamie to do a lot for me, because I felt like it just didn't hurt as much when he did it. But actually, when he was away, and then I got into the habit of it's just the scariest. It's just scary, isn't it? You just got to measure it all up. I didn't want to get it wrong. And, you know, so I kind of just let him do that. And it's nice for him, because he feels like he's doing something. Mm. It's really hard for the guy to watch you have to do all of this.
Yeah.
And then not be doing anything himself.
And are there any side effects?
Oh, yeah. Like, you're so angry. Were you angry?
Really angry.
Yeah.
Really emotional.
Yeah.
Really bloated.
So bloated.
My stomach, it was like I was 5 or 6 months pregnant.
And it's just uncomfortable, because it's worse than being, like, how you feel when you're pregnant, because it's more painful, isn't it, in your tummy? But yeah, you're very, oh, God, you're so emotional. Recently, and also you're like probably tripling your hormones.
Yes,
it's like being on a really intense period, like a really intense one for like 2-3 weeks.
And the way they grow the follicle so quickly as well, like Megan just said, it's like a rush of hormones.
They
want to
get them as big as possible, because what you don't inside your ovaries, you have follicles. Inside the follicles, you have eggs. So they can't actually see how many eggs you've got inside your follicles until they take them out.
Right.
So the bigger the follicles are that they can see on the scan, it's just more chance you've got more eggs inside them.
Right, okay.
So that's we did that for 2 weeks, and then And then we had them taken out. I had the egg retrieval, which is what it's called when they take the eggs out. So you have no idea how many eggs you're going to get.
How many follicles did you have? Can you remember?
I can't remember. This,
right.
It's like, oh, it's so long ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But a few, you know, they were happy to go in there and do the operation.
Yeah, they were totally happy. And they have to be careful because you can't go over a certain point. You can't overstimulate your follicles because it can become really dangerous.
Right, okay.
You can have something called ovarian hyperstimulation.
Yeah.
So they have to get them out at a particular time. So by that point of growing the follicles, you're going into the hospital, the clinic, every day or two to have internal scans so that they can monitor how many you've got, you know.
And you can see on a screen, I remember this vividly, because at this point, obviously, I didn't know if I could have children naturally. They were telling me that I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the follicles growing up and they were going, yeah, we're doing really well. We've got five. And then the next day I'd go in and they'd go, oh, that one's died. Now that's gone away. And we've only got four left. And then the other, you know, 2 days later, I'd go in and say, oh, actually, do you know what? We've only got three follicles. And by the last day, there was only one.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't respond to it very well. But
no.
I imagine for you as well, it's really nerve wracking over those days going
yeah.
in and just waiting to see how many you're going to get.
I was lucky. They never told me that I lost any with me, it was always like some might be fluid, some might be a follicle. It's very hard for them to tell. I didn't find them to be that, this is what I was saying about the clinic, I didn't find them to be that reassuring or give me that much
really?
Sort of information, really. But after that, we had two goes. So we had 13, I think, eggs in the freezer. They were fertilised with Jamie's.
Wow, 13, that's great.
So it was really good, really positive. We put one in, I think, first, and then you have like 2 weeks wait, where they call it the dreaded 2 week wait, because you have the embryo put inside you and you just have to wait literally to find out if you're pregnant, to do a pregnancy test.
And do they tell you to do anything in those 2 weeks? Like, are you supposed to relax? Are you supposed to like exercise?
Well, done it six times now. So I've Googled pretty much every single thing because I, you know, eat pineapple, eat half an avocado every,
like there's like, really? There's loads of
there's so many different things. What they do say is they say don't bend and don't lift too much, which this time is really difficult with a 20-month-year-old because I can't pick him up.
You're going through it again now.
So we're doing it again. Well, we've just finished doing a round. Yeah. Now.
Oh God, I can't wait to come to this actually. Yeah. Yeah. So they put the first embryo back inside, then you wait for 2 weeks and then what happens?
So you wait for 2 weeks. It depends on what clinic you're at. So we've been to three different clinics, but the first two, you had to go in for a blood test. So you'd have to go in for a blood test after those 2 weeks. They'd give you your date. You'd go in for a blood test, then they'd phone you that afternoon and tell you once the results back if you weren't pregnant. And that was just awful. Like, I would just do a pregnancy test at home because even if they advise it, I've now been advised you can do a pregnancy test at home. And to be honest, it's much less traumatic because imagine like going in, you go all the way to the clinic, wherever it may be, have your blood test. Your head is completely messed up from those 2 weeks anyway. Like every second of every day, you're thinking, oh, did I have a twinge? Oh, I'm feeling really tired. But, you know, you're also taking progesterone 3 times a day, which progesterone gives you symptoms of pregnancy and symptoms of your period. They just give you all your hormonal symptoms. So you don't actually know if you're feeling any symptoms of pregnancy or not. And it's just completely, you know, it's just a complete head fuck.
So you can say head fuck.
So you went through that 6 times before you got pregnant.
Rudy was our fifth, yeah. So we've had one go since. And then, so he was our fifth go. Each time we tried something different, they would say the first two times, So the first two times they were like, there must be something wrong. Let's look into it a little bit more. So we had a scan literally just about before we were about to do our third one. And he noticed some fluid near my fallopian tubes. And he said that he'd like to get that checked out and we shouldn't go ahead with this third time. So I went to see a specialist. It was almost like this last place had missed it I don't understand. Well, I still don't know how this fluid appeared. It was called something called hydrocele pinks, which is damage on your fallopian tubes, and it can happen for a number of reasons. Mine was unexplained. I don't know why I had it, but they didn't spot it in all the tests before, so we'd kind of wasted two goes because you know, we didn't know about it. So we got to that point and went to see a specialist. He said they can't see any more unless you have a laparoscopy and a hysteroscopy, which is like an operation to look inside you, to look at your tubes. So we went in, I went and had that done. And there was a massive chance when you go in to find out whether you, he said you can either clean your tubes up. If you have damage on your tubes, scar tissue can create, which can create fluid.
Yes.
Yeah. Which fluid can affect implantation of the eggs. So the whole point of going in for the operation, he said, look, if we can clean them up and make them okay, then great. You might lose one. Like, there looked like there was one that was damaged.
You might lose one tube.
One tube, yeah. So that was what I kind of went in for. But you have to sign something that if he goes in and he thinks that, you know, neither of them are savable or they are damaged, or, you know, you're not going to conceive with these tubes in place, then you could lose both.
Oh, my God.
So that was hard because it's the not knowing.
Yeah.
So you go in, you don't know. And I'd kind of prepared myself, I think, to lose one just because I could see in the screen that that's said that one was quite damaged. By this point, we'd moved to another clinic because it just felt like the first clinic we were at. Sorry, I'm going back. But the first clinic we were at, when I had the extraction, it was so traumatic. So the first time I had the extraction, I've only had that done once with that clinic. So that was really traumatic. I felt like they missed something when we had two goes. We'd wasted two goes. And then,
so when you say traumatic, was it painful?
It was painful. I was awake. I could feel they go up with a needle and they pierce your follicles and suck the eggs out, you know.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know. Did you feel anything?
Well, they didn't take any from me because they all died.
Oh, sorry.
No. It's fine. I can talk about it. Yeah. I've had two babies. I'm so lucky that that doesn't happen for a lot of people. But
like a miracle.
Yeah, they said, when they did the last scan, she just said, "We, you know, there's nothing left here. We can't do it." In fact, I think there was one follicle left, but she said, we don't like to go in for one. We need to make sure that, you know, that there's more than one egg. So yeah, I didn't have to do it, but yeah, I thought most people were under.
So you're under local anaesthetic, not general, but you shouldn't feel it. But I could feel everything, and I remember looking at the nurse asking her for more sedative because I could feel it, and I was in pain, and I felt like, you know, when you're lying something, it felt like you're sort of, I could feel I just was in pain, and I just thought that was normal, to be honest. And then that's just what it is. And then afterwards, just a level of care that I just didn't feel like I was really looked after. Mm. Whether you're paying or not, it wasn't that fact. It was just that it's such a huge thing and it's such an invasive thing, a personal thing. You want to feel like people actually care about you as an individual or as a couple. And we didn't really feel like that with that place. So we were recommended somewhere else, and they were the ones that did the further investigations. And they were the ones that recommended me to have this operation. Anyway, I had the operation and I woke up and they'd taken both tubes. So it was like the worst case scenario. I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. But I wasn't falling pregnant naturally. I wasn't falling pregnant with IVF. So it was just like the only option that I had at that time. And I had to sign something to give him the permission to do that.
Yeah, to do it.
So what did that mean?
It means that I can never, ever conceive naturally. Right. I know I wasn't anyway, but that was hard for me to take in.
Because you've probably always got in the back of your mind, you hear so many stories of people going, you know, having IVF and then the second time falling pregnant naturally.
But when that happened, I was thinking of all these crazy things. I was thinking, what if Jamie ever left me? Obviously, we're in a completely secure relationship and I don't feel like he would do that now. Mm. But what if one day he did and I never had the baby, and then I would have to do this with someone else, and how would I start that whole process again as somebody? I was thinking of all these weird things, and it was just a complete shock. But after that, you just have to get on with it, don't you? I think both of us are very kind of get on with it sort of people, where you just move on to the next thing. But it did take me a good few months to get my head around it, and I did spend a lot of time at home in my pajamas
crying.
Did
you have really dark days during those months?
Yeah, definitely did. And I just didn't get dressed. My auntie said to me, just take your time and just don't get dressed, just stay at home and until you feel like you're up to anything, because as soon as you get dressed, people will think you're okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And this
is
so
true, isn't it?
That is so true. She's,
and the other thing is, it's such a personal thing, but everybody knows about it. And you have to tell people, not because of the support, but just, because of the support, because of emotional support and also, you know, work. And
it's not people's fault, but people will obviously ask you those questions because you're in a marriage and it looks like everything's perfect in inverted commas. People are going to go, well, when are you guys trying for a baby?
Yeah.
And it's not people's fault, but you have to deal with that daily.
People don't mean it, but they are so insensitive, aren't they? Mm. I mean, I remember being at an event with Jamie, and we've been married for, couple of years. We were probably going through all our tests of IVF, and this is the worst thing I think anybody I've ever heard anyone saying. Obviously this guy wasn't a very nice guy, but he actually shouted across, we were at a big event having dinner, shouted across the table and said to Jamie, come on, get on with it, what are you, a Jaffa? Actually said that to Jamie. Bless Jamie, there's actually nothing wrong with him anyway, but you know,
that is
disgusting.
Like, he's a normal guy. Like, you know, just people, obviously that's an extreme case, but people do say so many insensitive things.
So what were you saying to people when people were saying to you, so when is it going to happen? Were you being honest?
No. The biggest mistake I made was people would say, you know what it's like, you get married, people say, when are you going to have a baby?
Yeah, straight away.
And I said, straight away, I can't wait to have a baby, you know? Like, I should never have said that, because then everybody was then questioning, oh, what's happening? Why aren't you having a baby? And we decided not to tell everyone. I know I speak about it a lot now, and I didn't talk about it until I was pregnant. But most of the, it was only close family that knew throughout the whole process at the beginning, because you just feel like the less people you have to explain things to, the less pressure on you is. So
you kind of kept that quite personal and quite private.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've been through four rounds of IVF. They've all not worked.
Yeah. And so these were frozen. So the first one was fresh, the rest were frozen.
Okay. And what are the clinics saying to you at this point?
So, nothing really. I mean, that's how it felt. By that point, you don't know how you're supposed to feel, and you don't know how you're supposed to be treated, because obviously it's like such a different thing. And that's why I like to talk about how you should feel, because how you feel is so important when you're going through this process. And it was just felt like, okay, let's go again, you know. Maybe try embryo glue this time. Maybe do this.
Yeah, try different things.
And it was up to us, really, when we were kind of ready. And the time before Rudy, I just said to Jamie, said, we could fit in another one before Christmas. I looked back and there was like so many Christmases, so many birthdays, so many like times in our life that was consumed, even though people probably didn't know, was consumed by our situation behind closed doors, like what we were doing. And I just said to him, look, I just need a break. I just need a break from it all. It was my 30th and my birthday's in December. So I never really did anything major for my birthday. But I was like, I'm going to have a party. Let's go away. Let's just enjoy Christmas.
Let's get drunk.
And, you know, everything. Like, because you go through phases. Oh, I can't drink. And, you know, you're being healthy. And I just wanted to get drunk and enjoy a couple of months with my friends and Jamie and family. So we did that, and I can't tell you that did me the world of good. I don't think I realised how much I needed it until I did it.
Yeah, of course. You do need a blowout sometimes. We talk about this a lot.
Don't we?
I had this big party. I went to, with all my friends. We went to Jamaica with our friends. And
drank some pina coladas.
Yeah, we drank so much. We had so much fun. And that was what we needed. And we came back and I was in a different headspace. And we tried again. And then I fell pregnant with Rudy.
And how did it feel? Yeah. Where were you when you found out, firstly?
So the first four times, I never tested at home myself. I always took their advice and I went in and I had the blood test. And Jamie used to say, come on, let's do a pregnancy test. I said, no, just in case, you can test early, blah, 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 it might not work. And this time I just thought, I didn't ever tell him how I felt because I didn't want to get his hopes up because it's very hard for him. He didn't know. He'd say, do you feel okay? Do you feel any different? I'd be like, no, I don't know. I literally don't know. Stop asking me. But this time I just said, yeah, okay, let's do a test. Because I just had a feeling.
Did you?
I had a feeling because I'd never had that before. I had a headache. You know, I just had a couple of different things. I had a headache. Oh, yeah, it could have been nothing.
when are you pleased to have a headache?
Yeah, I had a headache. My boobs were sore. And I was like, I just feel like I had a feeling about it. And I knew I could have been completely wrong. But I just felt a little bit different. So we did it. And I was pregnant, so I did the test at home.
Oh,
yeah, and I wanted to cry, I wanted to scream, but I didn't want to move. I didn't want to, like,
for 9 months,
the baby to fall out. I know that sounds so ridiculous,
no,
but I was
not
so
all.
Careful because I just thought, I've waited so long for this. I can't do anything, you know. But yeah, so, you know, that was it. And then I was pregnant. It was amazing. And I enjoyed every second of my pregnancy.
I bet you did.
I really did. I mean, obviously, I was lucky. I had a very low risk pregnancy after everything. Even if you have conceived with IVF, it doesn't mean you're going to have a high risk pregnancy. I had a completely normal pregnancy.
Any sickness?
I was nauseous. Yeah. I was never actually sick, which is a bit annoying sometimes.
I bet you were like,
I
feel sick.
It.
I like it.
Yeah,
it's because the baby's
it.
There.
Yeah. And I just loved it. I just loved the feeling of like having a bump and I just literally soaked up every second of it. I was very careful for the first 3 months. I didn't really do much. Mm. I didn't even load the dishwasher.
Great.
I can't do it.
That can't bend over, Jamie.
Yeah. You say it's great, but it's actually really annoying because everything around you is falling to shit. Aww. And you think, oh no.
No, so I'm, worth it.
It's not worth it. I'm not moving. But I did obviously still go to work and stuff. But yeah, it was amazing.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So after all those tries and after all of that, you know, emotional energy and all the cost as well, because you know, there's going to be lots of people listening to this that won't be able to afford private.
No.
And you know, I think at that point we need to say here that the NHS are there. They do offer
they
it.
Are there. And I'll tell you what, and also is there, because we've gone to a new clinic now and there is payment plans for it, which might be helpful to some. And if I was going into it and I knew about this, it would definitely have been something I would have looked into.
Right.
There's ones that are slightly more expensive, but you can get so many tries and you get all your money back if it doesn't work.
Right.
You know,
there is certain things out there now that you can do, which really helpful to a lot of people.
I just think that there's going to be parents listening that are staring down the barrel of, you know, no finances in the bank. And that is a reality. And to be honest with you, if I was faced with the prospect of having to pay for IVF now, I couldn't do it either. It's a huge expense.
Yeah,
but
is.
I think don't, what I want to say is I don't want those people to be disheartened listening to this thinking, well, I can't pay for a private doctor, so I can't have a baby. You can have a baby.
Yeah,
you need to investigate and you need to knock down the door hard and you need to make it happen for you.
Yeah, you do. Like, you have to literally fight for it.
Yep.
But it can happen depending on your areas and stuff. But yeah.
So you're going through it again now?
We had one left frozen after Rudy. We thought, well, we've got this one, we'll try it. It didn't work. That was probably about 3-4 months ago.
Okay.
So we put two in with Rudy. So with IVF, people always say, oh, you could get twins.
Yeah.
Oh, you've done IVF, you could get twins. But it doesn't work like that because you either put two in. Obviously, they can split, which I didn't realise. So you could get twins anybody else.
Yeah.
But you put two in. So that's why you would get twins.
Okay.
My sister-in-law went through IVF and she's got twins. Oh, boy and a girl.
And they put two in.
Yeah, they put two in.
And the aim of putting two in is to better your chances of getting one. It's not really to get twins. And so I put two in with Rudy. So I've got in my head now that I need some extra boost in my body to get one. But I only had one left. That didn't work. And then this time, so then we had to start all our injections again and start that again.
So
and we have
again.
Gone for a payment plan this time, which is more suited to us and like our history, so we can save money. And I've actually used my grandfather passed away in December last year.
I'm sorry, Megan.
No, it's really hard. He's such an amazing guy. But he left all his grandchildren a little bit of money. Mm. And that's what I used for it, because I just thought, it's something, you know, special. He absolutely adored Rudy. So I just put that.
That's what he would have wanted.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we did that and went for a payment plan for that. So we got recommended another clinic. I got a third clinic. But I can't tell you, like, even if you're with the NHS, find a doctor that you really, really like. Like, it's so important for them to make you feel confident. That is everything. And like confident in them and just happy with how they're treating you. Because this guy was just a completely different kettle of fish. I said to him, you know, I just feel like every time I have to explain to, I see a different doctor, I have to explain to them, you know, like, oh, there's this wrong, there's that wrong. And it's so much to take in and remember. And I've seen him in every scan and everything, and he's really been great. But yeah, we've did all the injections again. It's very different when you've got a baby, because
I bet
it's a lot more to deal with. But and you have to ask for a hell of a lot more help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is lovely. We're really lucky. We don't have anyone. I've got family close by. And Jamie's family live in Somerset, but I don't have either of my parents around. So it's more like my aunties or, you know, my brothers, but they work. So, you know, I had to have Jamie's mum come and move in for a couple of days. Then he had to take time off work.
Yeah.
Especially in those 2 weeks wait. Mm. The rest of the time you just have to get on with it.
So I guess the question to kind of wrap things up is, how would you feel if Rudy is the only one, because you are kind of facing the potential that might happen. It might not, but you know, is this going to be something that you're going to charge on with until you have a second baby?
Well, before we started this again, we did discuss it. We just thought, you know, we've got this amazing little boy. But we always thought we would have more than one.
Mm. Yeah,
and it was just our choice. We just said no. We want a bigger family. We're both on the same page, and we'll just give it a go. If we only have Rudy, then he's amazing.
Yeah.
It's more for him that I want him to have a sibling. You know, I want him to have someone to grow up with and not be an only child.
Yeah.
I wasn't, Jamie wasn't. And I love my brothers. I'm very close to them. So I'd like him to have that. So it's more for him. But if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be.
how many
things
goes
are out of your hands, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've got, we've got 12 frozen.
Okay.
From this time, this round.
So two in each time, so six goes.
And yeah, because we've paid for it all up front.
Yeah.
This time, we, that's what we've got. If that doesn't work, then that'll be it.
I'm keeping all my fingers and toes, both Georgia and I, sitting here with everything crossed for you. Will you let us know how you get on, please?
Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah, of course.
And for anybody listening that's going through it, what would you say to them or thinking about going through it?
Just follow your gut. Just don't let it, stay together. Talk about it with each other. It's really important because it can become like all you talk about, but then it can distance you from each other. So keep talking about it. Do whatever you feel is right. Don't talk about it to family and friends. Sometimes that puts more pressure on, but if you want to tell them, then go ahead. But make sure you choose the right place for you as well. That's really important. Mm. It is a really hard emotional roller coaster, but it's worth every second.
Of course.
When you get pregnant, you have that baby.
Now, every episode I mentioned this, we do talk about our five favourite products.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to talk about our five favourite products to do with the subject that we've been talking about. But we would love to hear what your five favourite, like, mum products are, like, whether that be amazing concealer that cover, you know, your tired eyes or, you know, a nappy bag that you love.
Yeah. A white noise machine.
I'm with you, sister.
Like, we've got this Hush machine. It's Hush, Marpak Hush machine.
You get it from Amazon.
Amazon, yeah. And it is amazing. Like, wherever, I remember being able to do anything. I don't use it so much now, but when he was younger, I could go out shopping and people would look at me like there's an aeroplane in the room. Well, like, I didn't care. Well, no, it's just a constant. And everyone would look at me, I think, I don't care. I'm shopping and, you know,
he's asleep. I've got to tell you something funny about this quickly. So we've used the shisha. Well, the shisha since Kit was born.
Yeah.
And then it turned to the.
Yeah.
And then we both Dozer and I had to go away for the night and work. So they stayed over at our childminders, who absolutely adores them. And she's kind of in her 60s and she's like old school mum, right? And I was like, oh God, I haven't packed the white noise machine. She was like, load of old rubbish. She was like, he doesn't need it. I was like, he cannot sleep without it. And she was like, well, we'll see about that. Slept through the night, no white noise machine. We don't use it
anymore. Have you tried it?
We don't use it. It's gone. She's got us off it. So I love,
she
I was with you.
Off the white noise.
But don't. I like, I said, second time round, I wouldn't have any of the sleep aids at all. I'd be like, no sleepy head.
Rudy's got everything.
So after like one night of having Gigi, I was like, okay, bring in all the sleep aids. And now I'm back with all of them again.
Oh, you've got to do what you can to get sleep. It doesn't matter what you use, in my opinion.
So true.
But that's definitely a big one for me. The concealer I use a really cheap concealer, but I think it's amazing. It's a Maybelline.
From Boots.
Savers.
Yeah.
Boots, anywhere. And it's literally Maybelline. It's got a little sponge on the end.
Oh, I've seen people using this.
Get it out.
Find out what it is.
Oh, she's rummaging around in her very, very lovely bag.
Yeah, with all of my makeup shoved in. Oh, well, look, I've used it so much.
Oh, yes.
I have the name. Eraser. Maybelline.
That's a really good tip.
That is good.
That is an amazing concealer and really cheap and easy to get everywhere, because that's annoying, isn't it? When you haven't got time, you just need something easy.
Yeah.
And I think you can get it on Amazon too. So Hush Machine, my concealer, probably my bronzer. Which is Hourglass, and it's an investment, but it lasts you a year. I use it every single day and it lasts me exactly a year, and that's important.
Can we talk about hair products too? Because hair obviously products. You are a hairdresser.
Amazing.
And Georgia always says it, if you're feeling blue, go and get a blow dry. Says it like solves all your problems.
Very true.
Tea and a blow dry can solve any problem.
It is, yeah. I love a blow dry. So the best product for your hair, I think, whatever hair you've got, long, short, blonde, dark, is the Kerastase oil.
Got it.
Yeah.
Have you got it?
The gold
got
one.
It, the gold one. You don't need much. It will last you forever.
Yeah.
Great on holiday, great at home when it's rainy, sunny, whatever. Put it in wet, put it in dry. That's my favourite product for my hair.
Amazing. Do you like the Matrix? I've got the Matrix heat protector, the one that comes in the pink spray. Don't like that
I
one.
Don't
look
like
at
that
your
one.
Face.
No. Oh.
Me neither. Gets rid of it. Gets rid of it from cupboard.
It makes my hair feel a bit...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Shit. Kerastase all the way.
Kerastase, yeah.
Invest.
Best, yeah. Well, what else?
What about like pram, travel buggy, anything like that?
Travel buggy. Well, we spent quite a lot of money on other things, so... Travel buggy, I just thought, oh, I really wanted to get a yo-yo, but it was too expensive. So we decided to, we've got a Mothercare Joey.
Yeah.
Joey.
Is that how you say it?
Well, because we got into trouble for it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. You? Joey.
Joey. It's French.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that.
Come on, Megan.
That's like when I am, yeah, I'll tell you that. So, yeah, that was a Joey-inspired by Mothercare.
Yeah, they're great.
Pram. And literally folds up cabin size. It's like a quarter of the price of a yo-yo. And we've used it on every holiday.
Brilliant.
Amazing. That's a great tip.
Yeah, I'm sure it's done the job.
Yeah, great.
It's been amazing. So
lovely.
Brilliant.
I think that's
Thank
only four,
you.
Though.
What can we just talk about your breastfeeding friendly jumpsuit, boiler suit that you're wearing today? Because this is a good one. If you're a breastfeeding mum, people keep asking us various, like, where's your shirt from? And I'm like, it's from Tesco, it's F&F. And you're wearing F&F today.
It is. It's amazing.
It's
and
a
how amazing
suit.
That you can go to do your food shop and pick up some nice clothes too.
Tesco's is gorgeous.
It's basically my new Selfridges. Because I go in there, I'm like, broccoli, jumpsuit for me.
You can get makeup in there as well.
Yeah.
You can. And and the kids' clothes are really cute.
Really
too.
Cute.
They're so cute.
So, yeah, this is F&F. But, yeah, it's lovely.
We'll be posting a photograph of what Megan's wearing and you can get it at the moment. It's gorgeous.
It is really cute. Thank you.
Amazing. Megan, thank you so much.
Thank
I feel like that's been
me.
Super helpful to anyone going through it at the moment. So, yeah, and obviously you can follow Megan. Mama Megan Stevens on Instagram. Thank you, lovely.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Wow.
I know.
What a woman.
Absolutely. I think, God, I learned so much from her.
Yeah, I did. I had no idea the ins and outs of it at all.
No, me neither. And also, it still blows my mind that it's different. You get different help depending where you live.
Yeah.
I just cannot get my head around that.
I know. What? Just because of your postcode?
Yeah,
it
exactly.
depends on how many goes you get, or even if you get a go on the NHS. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
What I really admired about Megan was how strong she was. You know, you could see that she was obviously very emotional, but she's had to be this really... I don't know. Yeah, the strength that she was exuding, you could just feel it, couldn't
you? Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
She knew that she wanted to have a baby and she's going through it again to try and have number two. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I know, exactly.
What a lady.
She was absolutely incredible. And also just, I found her talking about how it feels when you're going through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you still have to socialise and how maybe you don't want to tell people that you're going through it. It's just, if any of your friends are going through it or you're thinking of going, thinking of going down that road, definitely check out Megan's blog and her Instagram Instagram post, because she can give you so much information.
And she did send me a message after the podcast. I wanted to read it out. She said, "Hi Zoe, I wish I'd said this at the time. At the time I had my extraction, I didn't feel a thing, as it may scare people, but that was just that hospital. Thank you for having me so much." So she wanted to say that, you know, she didn't feel a thing when she had her extraction, so she didn't want to scare people off, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got that on the podcast for you, Megan.
We have.
Don't be frightened, it doesn't hurt. And also, you know, Georgia and I, as we've said, like we haven't been through it, but there are loads of support groups out there.
There are.
We found a couple online. The Fertility Network UK.org looks like a really fantastic one. We've had that recommended to us as well. So that's a place where it kind of offers groups a chance to meet up face to face, or you can do it online if you want, chat and share experiences with others who are also trying to conceive.
Yeah.
So there are some great networks out there.
Exactly. And as Megan said as well, obviously Megan went down the private route, but you know, there are so many success stories where people have gone through the NHS and you know, managed to conceive. So I think it's a really good idea to find out what is available in your area, and obviously knock all those doors down
and keep going. You're going to get your baby in the end. keeping all our fingers and toes crossed for you if you're going through it right now. That is the end of the podcast for this week. Thank you so much for listening to this one. We really hope you've liked it. And as always, you can rate, review and subscribe to Made by Mama's podcast. And obviously, if you'd like to give us a little 5-star review, we would love that.
That would be fantastic.
And also, you can contact us.
I'm at Made by Mama's on Instagram, or on Zoe's at Zoe Hardman.
Yes, and we're going to be back next week for more chat on parenting. We'll see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.